James Brown, what does that mean? The godfather of soul. That means it's time to bring in the retired HBO godfather himself, Mr. Larry Merchant. And how are you this morning, sir?
I'm feeling swell. I had a long, good night's sleep.
Well, you know, all kinds of crazy things have happened during live television, live radio, and things like that. When that fan man flew into the arena in Caesar's Palace there on November 6, 1993, the Holyfield Bowl fight, you were ringside for that, weren't you?
Yes, indeed.
Have you ever seen anything like that ever since or before?
Not in any sport. The amazing thing was our cameraman caught that guy up in the sky before any of us knew exactly what was going on, so that his whole descent was captured, as well as the aftermath.
Larry, I think he ended up in Riddick Bowe's corner, and did they put a beating on him or what?
Yeah, they threw some stuff at him and dragged him out of the ring, and I guess he had a sad life, didn't he? Commit suicide?
Yeah, he ended
Alaska.
Up hanging himself in Alaska at the age of 36 in like 2002. But James Miller was his name, call him Fan Man. But I mean, I was there that night, and he just came cruising right into the arena. I said to myself, oh my God, I never saw nothing like this in my entire life. Live TV, of course. But outside, I mean, that's probably the craziest thing I think I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff at boxing matches, but I don't think I've ever seen anything to top that Fan Man guy.
Probably not.
I mean, he was one of a kind.
I mean, Tyson biting a piece of flesh off of Holyfield is memorable as well. But I can't think of any outsiders who have ever had that kind of influence on an event.
You know, Mills Lane was my broadcast partner until he had a stroke in about 2002, 2003, something like that. He and myself and Al Bernstein were the Let's Get It On boxing crew. And I asked him one night in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I asked him, I said, why did you, you know, I mean, wasn't biting him the first time enough to disqualify him? And he said, Mark Ratner changed my mind. I said, what do you mean? Mark Ratner said to me, you put it in a question form. He said, Mills, you really don't want to disqualify Mike Tyson right now, do you? And I guess he thought that a disqualification at that point would have caused a riot. But I don't know, Larry, you think you should disqualify him straight up the first time?
Sometimes seeing is disbelieving. And it takes a second time to make you believe.
Okay. You know, a young man fought last night, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but a young man fought last night. Jackson Moran is on ESPN. He was from the Dominican Republic. He'd come in undefeated like about 8 months ago, and he fought on Raleigh Romero, who was Floyd Mayweather's fighter, and I thought he won like 10 rounds to 2. I mean, it was like a rout, 9-3, I think, out of my scorecard. And all three judges gave it to Mayweather's guy. I mean, the score is like 118, 110. I mean, long, long scores. So that robbery, because he got robbed, he went home to the Dominican Republic with like probably $10,000. Probably got that for the TV purse. Okay, so he goes home to the Dominican Republic, doesn't have his title belt, which he should have had, which probably would have made him a bit of an icon in the Dominican Republic. So he goes home, and then they say, you know what, we're going to get you another fight. We're not going to give you a title rematch with the champion. We're going to get you a fight with the roughest, hardest puncher in the entire division, Richard Comey, and we're going to give you $25,000. So in other words, those judges ripping him off 8 months ago, I think ruined his life, because he got knocked out last night in a fight he couldn't win.
Huh. Well, I guess Mayweather's fighter was the house fighter.
No doubt about that. I mean, Glenn Feldman had a 116-112. Frank Lombardi should be arrested for impersonating a boxing judge. He had a 118-110. And I think the other judge, Don Trela, had it 115-113, or 7 to 5 in rounds. It wasn't even close. What I'm trying to say is it was one of the biggest atrocities of boxing in 2020. Nobody really talked about it much because of the fact Mayweather was involved. I mean, anytime Mayweather's involved, I guess you know, it's like people handle stuff with kid gloves, commissions, everybody.
I'm not sure. I haven't followed him or his fighters, so I can't respond from eye contact with these things.
The paparazzi followed you around after the Mayweather encounter. Did you get any threats?
I didn't get any threats, but because my grandson told me that I was outdoing Justin Bieber on the internet, I glanced at it, and more than one onlooker called me a racist.
Okay. You know, Justin Bieber, he came to Pier 39 in 2008. I was part of management there. And he did a concert an unannounced concert on the pier. So the shopkeeper calls me on the phone and says, "Security?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "You need to get down here right now. There's all these girls out here." I said, "What are you talking about, all these girls?" So I went up to the plaza, and there was like 400 girls there. And Mr. Bieber had himself a little microphone. He was doing his thing. So I went up to him, and I said, "Hey, man, you can't do this here." And some girl says to me, "Hey, you, this is Justin." I said, "I'm Pedro," and he's leaving. Anyway, bottom line is he left and went to went further down the Embarcadero to another
what
pier.
What couldn't he do that he was doing?
Well, he was blocking all the doors to the shops with all these girls. In other words, they weren't spending any money. This is a shopping center. You hear what I'm saying? This was a shopping center. Pier 39 is a tourist shopping center. Anyway, revenue. Capitalism was being blocked.
Cardinal sin.
It's a cardinal sin, no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, I got to meet the guy, and I thought he was, you know, nice guy. And then, of course, he's had his issues. He wanted to become a boxer, all kinds of different issues. You know, Larry, these celebrities wanting to become boxers like this. I think Mayweather's going to box some clown from YouTube and this and that. People get hurt in boxing. How come celebrities don't?
Because we all know what's going on and what's up. And if people want to spend money to watch nothing happen, then good luck to them.
Okay. Speaking of spending money and having nothing happen, exhibitions. People want – is the boxing – is the caliber of boxing being presented on television now such that so inferior that we have to watch exhibitions of old guys to get off?
Well, I guess that's what some promoters believe, but I do think that some young guys are starting to ripple up and show that they'll be ready for the game when the pandemic lifts.
Speaking of pandemic lift, you got your second shot?
Yep.
Okay. Any side effects? You feel any different from
no
taking
side either? Effects? I took a what do you call them? I took a couple of pills beforehand, just to settle everything down, and I didn't suffer any consequences afterwards.
Are you trying to tell me you took a chill pill like a Valium beforehand?
I took Tylenol. Nothing. That's the strongest pill I've ever taken.
I'm not a pill guy. I mean, I'm just not a pill
guy.
Well,
I just my experience is that nothing bad can happen to you if you take Tylenol, and something good might. And in this case, whatever might have happened that went wrong went right. So I'm cool. I'm as proud of having my second shot as I am about turning 90.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, congratulations on both. Next week, February 20th. I know you're not a big fan of today's fights, but Mikael Berchtold is a once-beaten 130-pounder. He's a monster. He's just a monster at 130 pounds. He's defending the WBC 130-pound title against the 2012 Olympic gold medalist, the former WBO 126-pound champion. These guys will fight at 130. Oscar Valdez, 28-0, 22 KOs. I would recommend that, Godfather. I would recommend you put that on your schedule.
I will take your recommendation.
And, of course, Adrian Broner is coming back on February 20th. I thought we were done with him. He's only 31, but I thought we were done with him.
Well, I guess there's a vacuum, and somebody's got to try to fill it or use the opportunity to fill it. Broner played his cards out, and I'm as surprised as you are that he's coming back, but given his age and given how thin the ranks are these days, I suppose he can make a few bucks.
You know, Larry, I was looking at Haseem Rahman. After he won the heavyweight title, of course, that upset of Lennox Lewis in Africa, he called me on the phone. He was live on the phone. I want to thank the late Stan Hoffman, who passed away last week. Huffin' Stan Hoffman put that together. But Haseem Rahman, a few years later, they found two dead bodies in the trunk of his car in Baltimore, okay? And I'm wondering if these two dead bodies were equivalent to the guys that his sons are fighting, because night before last, his son stepped in the ring with two guys. He has two sons, Haseem Rahman Jr., who had a horrible amateur record, and his son Sharif, who didn't have a very good amateur record, neither had winning amateur records. Anyway, both these guys are pros now, and they're fighting guys that are 2-10. Well, the guys that are 2-10, of course, have never beaten anybody that have won a fight and this kind of stuff, but Haseem Rahman, I think he was better off if he'd have dug those two guys out of his trunk to fight these kids.
Well, what's in a name?
Well, you got the name. Listen, you mentioned Larry Merchant, anybody? And I mentioned you this week to a lot of people because it was your birthday, and people knew that and passing this. And they know who the Godfather is.
Well, I suppose if I had some sons who were looking to make a few bucks or have some fun, maybe the fact that they were Larry Merchant Jr. and Harry Merchant would help them get through.
Okay. Manny Pacquiao says it'll take $40 million to fight Terrence Crawford. You think they'll put that together?
I don't know if that's an opening bid. It would be a big fight. I don't know that he would turn down $25 million as a guarantee. But it would be a fight worth watching.
Well, that being said, you go have a good Valentine's Day with the Godmama. Give her a big kiss for me and give her my best.
Thank you, Pedro.
The one, the only, my heir apparent to greatness. He is the one, the only. I'll talk about the Godfather, Larry Merchant, folks, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Okay, let's go.